यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विश्वपाद परमहंस परमाचार्य अष्टदर्श श्री श्रीमती जवाइन ग्रेस ऐसे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विश्वपाद परमहंस परमाचार्य अष्टदर्श श्री श्रीमती जवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल गुरु असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल गुरु असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल गुरु असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल गुरु टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। श्रीमद्भागवतं कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 72। गर्भे बाल्ये अपि अपौष्कल्याद् एकदशाविधं तदा लिंगं न दृश्यते यूना कुहुवां चंद्रमसो यथा। गर्भे बाल्ये अपि अपौष्कल्याद् एकादशविधं तदा लिंगं न दृश्यते यूना कुहुवां चंद्रमसो यथा। गर्भे बाल्ये अपि अपौष्कल्याद् एकादशविधं तदा लिंगं न दृश्यते यूना कुहुवां चंद्रमसो यथा। गर्भे इन द वूम्ब, बाल्ये इन बॉयहुड, अपि ऑल्सो, अपौष्कल्याद् बिकॉज ऑफ इमेच्योरिटी, एकादश द टेन सेंसेस एंड द माइंड, विधम इन द फॉर्म ऑफ, तदा एट दैट टाइम, लिंगम द सटल बॉडी और फॉल्स ईगो, न नॉट दृश्यते इज विजिबल, यूना ऑफ अ यूथ, कुहवाम ड्यूरिंग द डार्क मून नाइट, चंद्रमसा द मून, यथा एज। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। व्हेन वन इज अ यूथ ऑल द टेन सेंसेस एंड द माइंड आर कंप्लीटली विजिबल। हाउएवर In the mother's womb or in the boyhood state, the sense organs and the mind remain covered, just as the full moon is covered by the darkness of the dark moon night. Purport. When a living entity is within the womb, his gross body, the ten sense organs and the mind are not fully developed. At such a time, the objects of the senses do not disturb him. In a dream, a young man may experience the presence of a young woman because at that time the senses are active. Because of undeveloped senses, a child or boy will not see a young woman in his dreams. The senses are active in youth even when one dreams. And although there may be no young woman present, the senses may act and there may be a seminal discharge, that is nocturnal emission. The activities of the subtle and gross bodies depend on how developed conditions are. The example of the moon is very appropriate. On a dark moon night, the full shining moon is still present, but it appears not to be present due to conditions. Similarly, the senses of the living entity are there, but they only become active when the gross body and the subtle body are developed. Unless the senses of the gross body are developed, they will not act on the subtle body. Similarly, because of the absence of desires in the subtle body, there may be no development in the gross body.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Shva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Pauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Nitinamine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all Vaishnavas to be able to speak something on this subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful section. I'll just read the translation again. When one is a youth, all the ten senses and the mind are completely visible. However, in the mother's womb or in the boyhood state, the sense organs and the mind remain covered, just as the full moon is covered by the darkness of the dark moon night. Hare Krishna. It's a wonderful sight to see so many, it's an oceanic youths present in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And of course the regular devotees, brahmacharis and the other congregation also. So this section is about the last part of Puranjan Katha. So we'll just have a brief snapshot of what is currently going on, and we'll discuss 3 to 4 points from this particular purport, which is basically Prabhupada is talking about conditions, how developed conditions are. So we'll discuss about conditions apply, star mark, which we usually find in discounts. So what is the conditions apply materially versus towards the end, we'll see that from a spiritual perspective. Prabhupada also talks about interdependency of gross and subtle bodies, how the gross body affects the subtle body and how the subtle body affects the gross body in turn. And in the beginning, Prabhupada explains in which conditions do the objects of the senses not disturb a person. So we'll discuss that also in towards the end of it. And at the conclusion, we'll discuss about the spiritual perspective of conditions. So just to get a brief snapshot of what is currently going on, Puranjan Katha is about 5 chapters. So this is the last, 29th is the last, starting from 24 onwards. And with next probably 15 verses, next chapter will start about Prachetas.
very interesting section, long section, where Narada Muni is patiently instructing Prachini Bari, who was basically engaged in fruitive activities. Narada Muni wanted to deliver him because of a connection. He was connected to, as one of his descendants, previous descendants were Dhruva Maharaj. So feeling compassion for Prachini Bari, Narada Muni wants to preach to him. So naturally he gives a allegorical story of Puranjan. He talks about the city of 9 gates, 5 gates in the front, 2 gates, this is the east side, 2 gates towards the western side, 1 gate towards the, this is the southern side, and the ear, the left ear is considered as the northern side, the different directions of the city of the 9 gates. So allegorical narration is being described. And when Narada Muni is talking about this, just the previous chapter we saw that Puranjan becomes a woman, and then he eventually becomes basically Vaidarbhi, king of the daughter of king of Vidarbha. Then her husband eventually dies, and she is very attached. So at that time a Brahmana comes and enlightens her. So that Brahmana is compared to the super soul as a friend. And so this chapter, if you see, Prachini Bari is asking a question to Narada Muni as to, can you please explain me the purports of the allegory that you have been talking about for so long? And there was a school advertisement for a school, which basically said that we believe if a student does not study, if a student does not learn the subjects, it is we who are responsible for it. It looks to be a very fantastic statement. It basically claims that the teachers are taking the full onus of how the students will be studying. And it appears to be a very wonderful marketing trick, as if the students doesn't have to do anything. Right? We take full responsibility. We believe, that means if the student has not understood, we believe the teachers have not taught properly. That is what they are talking about. But Vedic society or the Vedic version is very clear that the teacher also has certain duties, the student also has certain duties. Just like spiritual master has certain qualifications, the disciple also needs to have certain qualifications. So it's always a reciprocal. It is not one-sided. The teacher does his job, the teacher teaches, and he's not even bothered whether the student has understood or not. He feels, I have done my part. Here, Prachini Bari is asking, of course, Srila Bhakti Sansara Thakur gives that famous story of Lalu and Kalu, where they were stubborn students. They were determined not to study. They were stubborn. Their father was a zamindar, and he actually employed tutors and was ready to give rewards. Anybody who can teach my children, I'll give rewards. And these children were actually stubborn, Lalu and Kalu. So many people came and went. Finally, one tutor comes and he takes him to the farm. He says, I'm not teaching any, no books. I'm just taking you out to the farm. And in the farm, there are some cows grazing. And he says, just look at the cows, beautiful cow. He says, yes, yes. Just see how many legs it has. And Lalu starts counting, 1, 2, 3. Immediately, Kalu stops. Hey, he's teaching us mathematics. Don't study here, things like that. So this tutor was trying to teach them without books, but they were so stubborn. So the point to say is, it is reciprocal. Even if the teacher tries from his side, if the student is not eager and enthusiastic, the education will not be received. So here Prachini Bari is expressing, you have explained an allegory for practically the last 4 chapters. Can you please kindly explain the purports of it? Just like we find Lord Krishna is asking Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, have you heard this with attentive mind? Have you heard this with attentive mind? And is your ignorance and illusion dispelled? Why Krishna is asking this? To ensure that whether he has grasped the subject matter or not. Right? So does it mean, if Arjuna says, actually I did not understand anything, does it mean Lord Krishna was prepared to speak again? Prabhupada says in the purport, yes, 18.73, says, Lord Krishna was prepared to re-speak the entire Bhagavad Gita again. Either any point which you have not understood or the entire Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna was ready to repeat again as it is. So that is the compassion of the spiritual master. That is the compassion of a preacher. So similarly here Narad Muni, he could have said last four chapters I have spoken about this allegory and now you are asking about the explanations and purports. But Narad Muni is in fact happy about it. In fact, the proof of it is that after he explains the purports, he gives another narration without being asked by Prachanivari. That is how enthusiastic a preacher is, because he feels happy, he feels joyful to get an opportunity to speak about Krishna. So Narad Muni is explaining this allegory of Puranjan, which was of course described in the last practically four chapters. So preacher is one who actually feels joy, like here Narad Muni is feeling joyful to be able to get an opportunity to speak further to Prachanivari. And whatever he has spoken, the purpose of it he explained. Further, he explains another narration of his own. So one is preacher feels joyful, and second, out of compassion, the preacher is concerned whether the student has grasped the subject matter or not. From a material perspective, people are only interested in their task or their job responsibilities as their descriptions, whatever I'm supposed to do, whether I've done it or not. But compassion means I have done my task, but I have to ensure in today's language to understand, if it's just like I have sent a mail, but if the other person has not received it, what is the point of my sending? It's an unfinished task. Or if you want to be more personal, it's like I gave a gift, but it has not reached you. So what is the point? It is unfinished. Similarly, when a teacher or a preacher or a spiritual master instructs or teaches, if it is not grasped by the student, the teacher feels I have to extend myself. I have to do something more in order to make the subject matter more relevant, understandable. So the teacher goes out of his way. So here we find Narad Muni going out of his way. So basically he is giving another narration. He talks about try to find out a deer who is frolicking around in the garden. He is eating fresh green grass. And his wife deer is there, and then there are bumblebees singing around, children like that, the descriptions are being given. And in front of him, there is a tiger, behind him, there is a hunter. So what Narad Muni is talking about is, it's a precarious condition. And whom is he again talking about? The condition of a conditioned soul. We have a tiger in the front and the hunter in the back. It's a very precarious condition. And meanwhile, we are happy chewing the fresh green grass, hearing nice background music, humming sounds of the bumblebees and all that. So he's trying to become very direct, because why this narration is the second narration Narad Muni is telling out of his own without being asked is because he's able to judge, or he's able to sense that Prachanivari has understood the subject matter, but he is still not giving up his fruitive activities. This is another category. One is people have difficulty in understanding the subject matter, grasping the subject matter. Second is, after understanding, are we able to apply it? That means we have received some information. Are we able to process it as wisdom? Are we able to make it relevant in our lives? So Narad Muni is again going out of his way to explain this narration, and hoping that with a great compassion in his heart, with a great concern that Prachanivari should be able to understand the subject matter now very well. And at that, towards the end, Prachanivari says that I believe the conclusion I arrive at is the teachers who have taught me these fruitive activities earlier were not aware of the confidential knowledge what you are talking about. If they would have been aware, they would have spoken to me. That means he is, in one sense, putting the blame on the teachers, that they have not taught me the most pure, the most confidential knowledge, which I am getting by your grace, Narad Muni's grace, I am receiving it right now. So in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about conditions, how developed conditions are, similarly what conditions are there in which one's senses and the mind will not get disturbed. These kind of conditions is Prabhupada is talking about. So in today's society we find in the modern times, even a discount in the material world has certain conditions. They always have this star mark applied, right? In the earlier, when initially the advertisement industry had started, people would hardly notice that star mark. And afterwards, now only star is being seen. People are very conscious, star is there. And that star would indicate a huge paragraph with a long list of conditions. Some of you might be happy to know, people in the outside world nowadays have temporarily left onion. Temporarily left onion, not because they are becoming Hare Krishnas. Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadramaya ki jai, Shri Gaur Nithai Bhagavan ki jai. Not because they are becoming Hare Krishnas, but the onion prices are rising very high. One of my relatives called up and said, I went to purchase onion in the market, and then looking at the price, I thought, I remembered you, saying that, you know, if you can live without onions, I can also try for some time. The price is so high. In fact, nowadays in the shops, one of the shop has used it as a marketing gimmick. They're saying, if you purchase clothes worth 1,000 rupees, you'll get 1 kg of onion free. These are the marketing things that they are talking about. So basically, material world means there will be a conditions. There's always a star mark associated with it. There is some benefit, and in fact, sometimes we find even the discount which is being offered, it's, if the original price is 100 rupees, it would be increased to 150 and then given a 10% discount on it. So eventually it is being sold for a much higher profit only, but from our perspective, it appears there is a sale of 10%, there is a sale of 20%, something like that. So even the discount also what is being offered is not so genuine. At the same time, there are certain conditions. So Prabhupada very clearly says there are conditions determine the activities of the gross and subtle bodies. So he says the activities of subtle and gross bodies depend on how developed conditions are. So the analogy Prabhupada gives is like the chandramsa, kohuvam chandramasoyata, chandramasoyata. So that is that a full shining moon is present in the sky, but currently not visible because of the dark moon, dark because of the dark night sky. Like yesterday, we must have experienced the solar eclipse. So sun is there in the sky, but the condition is because of some arrangements that for some period of time, which is also so predictable, which is not the greatness of science, but it is the greatness of the creator who has made it so precise. We can tell eclipse starting from this time to this time with minutes, precision of minutes, right? So there is a certain conditions which determine the activities. So the example Prabhupada gives in the purport is about the moon, similarly about the sun. And even if it's not an eclipse time, Prabhupada gives examples of sometimes the sun is visible in the sky, I mean sun is shining bright in the sky, but in our eyes we are not able to see the sun because of clouds covering the sun. The cloud can never cover the sun, but the cloud can cover our vision from seeing the sun, because the sun is much more huge and the cloud is very small, but because of the distance, the cloud is managing to cover our vision. Similarly, Prabhupada used to give an example of a lion. A lion is very powerful inside the cage. Like one time, one of the disciples had, along with Prabhupada, when they had gone to a zoo, a disciple was laughing at the lion, and Prabhupada said, "Be careful. You know, if in case he is able to get out of the cage, you know, he will have the last laugh." You know, so the lion is very powerful, but right now because he is inside the cage, you know, he appears to be very handicapped. And similarly, the spirit soul, the jivatma, is very very powerful. We are parts and parcels of the Lord. And being so powerful, unfortunately, when we come in the material world, we get a covering. Anarthopasamam shakshat. No, we are being covered by anarthas. We are being covered by the three modes of material nature. So the powerful spirit soul gets a covering of the three modes of material nature, and because of which it appears to be handicapped. It's like when children play in a sack race. No, they are small children, wear a sack and they are running, having a running race. So they are not able, naturally they are not able to run as fast or norm, as fast as they would have been without the sack. Similarly, the spirit soul is encaged, entrapped, dehinosmin yatha dehe, is entrapped within this material body. And which, because of which, we have to understand, certain conditions will be favorable, certain conditions will be unfavorable. Conditions will determine the activities of the gross and the subtle bodies. So, when the, just like a spirit soul is compared to a spark of fire, when the spark of fire falls on land, it may remain for some time and eventually it may get extinguished. If the spark of fire falls on water, it gets immediately extinguished. If the spark of fire falls on wet grass, a little bit of smoke. If the spark of fire falls on dry grass, immediately burns. So falling on the land would be compared to one's association with probably a pious minded personalities. It remains for some time, but eventually it's almost like lost. Falling on water, the spark falling on water will be compared to associating with materialistic people, or what to speak of Mayavadis. Mayavada bhasha shunile hoile sarvanash, or associating with very materialistic minded people. That also drains one's tendency to serve Krishna. So that again one has to be very conscious. Then in terms of grass, there are two categories, wet grass and dry grass. Dry grass is very, very favorable condition. Wet grass is associating with materialistic devotees. Isn't it? There is Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. So this is considered as material. That means like mixed devotees. And dry grass is like associating with advanced devotees who have that fire of Krishna consciousness. So conditions will determine the activities of gross and subtle bodies. Depending on whom we associate with, one will get either the fire or one will get the, you know, basically sort of laziness out of the extinguishing tendency out of the water association. So second, Prabhupada talks about interdependency of the gross and subtle bodies. So he says, the senses are active in youth, even when one dreams, and although there may be no young woman present, the senses may act and there may be a seminal discharge, nocturnal emission. So he's giving a very powerful example. When intense emotions seen or experienced affects, or we can say reflects, in the gross body. Intense emotions, lust is a very intense emotion. Similarly, fear is a very intense emotion. This kind of emotions, when it is seen or experienced, affects or reflects in the gross body. In this purport, Prabhupada is giving about the example of when a young man dreams about a young woman. Dreams about a woman, but the woman is not physically present. He's just dreaming about the woman, but at the end of the dream, there is a nocturnal emission. There is a seminal discharge, what Prabhupada is talking about. That's an intense emotion of lust. Similarly, at other places, Prabhupada talks about intense fear when suddenly a man gets up out of dream and he says, where is the tiger? Where is the tiger? Where is the tiger? So basically, he was dreaming about, he was in the forest and a tiger was chasing him. And when the tiger was just about to pounce on him, he woke up and he's now wondering, where is the tiger? But what is the effect on the gross body? Perspiration. He was not in the forest. It was just a dream. There was no tiger. There is no tiger. But perspiration is factual. Perspiration is real. So Prabhupada says the intense emotions which are seen or experienced affects or reflects on the gross body. So these two examples are there. And in this particular purport, Prabhupada is talking about towards the end, so that actions done by the gross body, this is a very beautiful interdependency which Prabhupada is talking about from the gross and subtle body. The activities done by the gross body is going to have deep impressions on the subtle body, mind, intelligence and false ego. Activities done by the gross body will have deep impressions on the subtle body. And the material desires one has in the subtle body will be the cause of creation of future bodies. Able to see that interdependency? The activities done by the gross body has deep impressions on the subtle body, mind, intelligence and false ego. And the material desires in the subtle body are actually the cause of future bodies. Whether we are going to have a future body is determined by the material desires which is present in the heart, which is present in the subtle body. Which is why it is very essential to purify the desires, particularly purify the material desires. So the impressions are very important. So when the material desires are spiritualized, when the material desires are purified, when just like Prabhupada says, people have a tendency to read. So instead of reading newspapers and magazines, if they read spiritual literatures, the tendency is same, but it is being dovetailed towards Krishna. People have a need to eat, not even a habit to eat, need to eat. If it is just spiritualized, whatever food one is eating, yat karoshi yadashnashi yajyoshi dadasiyat, yat tapasyasi kauntaya, tat kurushva mad arpanam. When it is done for the pleasure of the Lord, when it is spiritualized, dovetailed, the amount of benefit one gets, one cannot even imagine. Right? The impressions are going to, are the cause of creating future bodies. And that is why having wonderful time when we spend with devotees, when we go out on yatras, camps like this, these moments will help us to have deep impressions, deep positive favorable instructions towards Krishna consciousness. Just like it is described, if a person catches the rope of Jagannath Rath, he just catches the rope once, it is described that so many impressions that one has in his mind, in his subtle body. Obviously, there are so many negative, positive, whatever is there, mixed, all that is there. But it is described that the glory is that if one gets an opportunity to catch the rope and pull Lord Jagannath's cart, then all the different impression which is going on suddenly stops at a time when one is pulling the rath. And if at such a time, if a person is able to leave his body, you can imagine what a great benefit it is. Of course, it cannot be as simple as this. It will be, again, condition supply, from a spiritual perspective also. But nevertheless, just like Prabhupada says, Neha Vikrama Nashwasi Pratyavayana Vadyate Swalpam Vasidha Samasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. That guarantee, that assurance Krishna gives. Prabhupada says in the purport, at least one is guaranteed a human form of life. So there's a great benefit. So there is an interdependency of this gross and subtle bodies. And in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada is talking about in which conditions do the objects of senses not disturb a person. What Prabhupada says is, when the living entity is within the womb, his gross body, the 10 sense organs and the mind are not fully developed. At such a time, the objects of the senses do not disturb him. So we'll discuss three conditions. In which condition do the objects of senses not disturb a person? So to understand this even more better, we will discuss this from a perspective of prasadam. In which conditions does prasadam not disturb a person? What do you mean by prasadam not disturb a person? Like 2 days before we were celebrating Vyas Puja Mahamahotsav, and there was a lot of cakes offered. So there were two devotees carrying a tub of cakes. And the volunteers who were there, they just mentioned that, let's hijack them. Of course, it is not from a realistic perspective, but I'm talking about the heart, what people think, that is the attraction one has towards prasadam. So in what conditions one does prasadam not disturb a person? Is the question clear? I don't think so. In what conditions does prasadam not disturb a person? So first condition is when the taste buds are not developed for prasadam. That is the first condition, first case. When you see people outside, when you offer prasadam, they're just not bothered about it. In fact, there are some classes of people who would say, if it is prasad, I don't want, because they know the glory of prasad. They feel they'll get trapped. So for one who has not developed the taste buds for prasadam, he will just not understand the glory of it. And if you ask devotees, like, they're just hankering. Not necessarily only the gulab jamun and the halwa, that's in the beginning stages. But at a later stage, we should have taste buds even for the dal, even for the rice, even for the other items, which is because it is prasadam. And what to speak of, especially when it is made in the temple, lovingly by the brahmacharis and the devotee cooks. No? So one should develop the taste for it. Initially, it may start with sweet, but eventually we should get a taste. The taste buds should be there, developed for prasadam. So first case, when a person does not have that taste buds developed, he is not disturbed by prasadam, which means even if a plate of mahaprasadam passes by him, he's not bothered. Isn't it? Second case is higher taste. People who have transcended the modes of material nature. Like sannyasis may be offered a plate of mahaprasad. It's a great irony. Those who need don't get it. And those who don't want get it. They get a whole plate of mahaprasadam, but it's like not that the saliva is pouring out, no? Because higher taste. Prabhupada was once requested by some of his disciples. He was in India and he was about to go abroad for preaching. And the disciple said, Prabhupada, can you please stay for some more days? You know, it's like summer season is just about to begin. And in India, summer season, especially in India, mangoes, you know, very delicious. And in abroad, it's all canned, you know, or imported, or exported from India, whatever. But here it is fresh. And you know, so the disciples requested Prabhupada, can you please stay for some more time? Just if you stay for some days, mango season will start and you'll be able to taste fresh, juicy mangoes. And Prabhupada said, preaching is much more sweeter than those delicious mangoes. This, who can say this? One who has a higher taste. One who has taste, who is basically beyond that modes of material nature. But for most of us, probably some may be one of the second category, but for most of us, we are the first cases, we cannot go back. We have some taste buds is there. And we have not reached that higher taste. So what to be done in between, which is the lifelong dilemma. What is to be done while we are not yet a pure devotee? What is to be done at this point of time? So at this point of time, what is to be done is that one is either reaches a level of satiation or reach a level where one is engaged positively in Krishna consciousness. That means it's a state, it can be called as temporarily not attracted. Temporarily not attracted because of being engaged in preoccupied with other activities. For example, just like students can experience that if tomorrow an exam is there, even if today a plate of mahaprasadam comes, you are attracted, but you know certain consequences and say, okay, maybe I'll try to take it tomorrow, something like that. Temporarily, you are not getting attracted. So this stage has to be practiced And second, it has to be prolonged practice. Because that's what a stage of sadhaka is. That's what a stage of sadhaka is. Tarangaralata. That's always, that sine wave is there. So it has to be a stage of prolonged practice. So coming to that point, in which conditions do the objects of senses not disturb a person? One is, which Prabhupada, the first case which Prabhupada is talking about is, when the senses are not developed only. Just like a 5-year-old child, you know, it appears as if he has no lust. But in reality it is just covered. It is not yet manifested. It is dormant. Nitya Siddha, something like that. It is dormant, right? It is yet to manifest. And which is why children appear to be very sweet. Because their lust is covered. Their duplicity, manipulative tendencies, these things are like covered over. Of course, the false ego is still there. Sometimes probably much more stronger. Because the others are covered. Still there. But that's why they appear to be sweet. In fact, the next very purport, Prabhupada is going to address that. It's not that the children, the innocence, they are complete, they appear to be innocent, but it is still dormant. The desires are still there. Next purport will cover that. I'll not get into that. So, Prabhupada is talking about this first case, when the senses are not developed. And second case is, when one has learnt or mastered the art of dealing with the material nature. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, this is second category, is like perfected stage, when one is not bothered. Shukadeva Goswami was just passing by, and there were ladies who were bathing. Very interesting. Neither Shukadeva Goswami was disturbed, nor were the ladies disturbed. Both cases. Both very, again, amazing personality. Shukadeva Goswami was not disturbed. Neither were the ladies who were bathing. They were also not disturbed. So this is like a perfected stage, where one has transcended, where one has transcended the, one has learnt how to deal with the modes of material nature. Just like the tortoise example is given. When to take out the limbs and when to withdraw. At this stage, we have the knowledge, but the application part is something we keep struggling, which is basically the struggle of a sadhaka. Right? At least we are equipped with knowledge. The knowledge to get solidified, one needs to be strongly associated with devotees. To be able to get strength. To be able further strength comes from practicing strict sadhana. Right? That is what will help one in order to practice this for a prolonged period of time. And the third stage, which is what most of us will be applicable with, as in the case of prasadam we were discussing, like temporarily not attracted, which basically means for us we need to be preoccupied with positive engagements. Preoccupied with positive engagements. Just give two examples. One is like Hanuman, when he had just reached Lanka, his task was to search for Mother Sita. Now where he has to search for a lady, for Mother Sita. He has to search for Mother Sita where there are other ladies. So what else? What is the choice that he has? So he is looking about and in the different chambers of Ravan. He is going around everywhere. And then after some time he's like trying to come to his senses. Hey, what am I doing? He's trying to introspect. And then he again tries to pacify or rather tries to explain with reason and logic. That I am trying to find Mother Sita. Although I am looking at different ladies, but my intention is to search for Mother Sita. It's basically a service. So actually service is like a great armor. When one is equipped with service, it helps us to refrain from distraction. It helps us to refrain from distraction. Just to end with this example about this particular topic is, when devotees go for book distribution. Now, probably if we are not doing some service, if we just come to the temple, if you don't have any service, we may just look around here and there. Initially, we may look up and down, nice, wonderful decorations and all that. Afterwards, we will start looking at people. Isn't it? If we are not equipped with services, the mind immediately looks for something to munch on. But when the mind is occupied, especially like when you're distributing a book, even if a beautiful woman comes, hopefully we look at the book and distribute. The more we are engaged in service, the more, at least, see, if we don't have a higher taste, we have to practice that in a sadhana stage for a prolonged period of time. So the more we are engaged in a service, the more chances one has that he is safe. So when we have no, first case, we have already crossed beyond it. The senses are already developed because of the age. Second case, higher taste, still long time to reach. So in between stage is a stage where one has to be engaged, occupied positively, by which one gets sort of distract or not so attracted towards the sense objects. In which condition does the object of senses not disturb a person? The moment service gets over, again the mind will start looking for something else. That's why the mind has to be preoccupied. In fact, when one is young, senses have to be engaged, especially physically. And as one grows, the mind also needs to be engaged. And in later stages, when senses are sort of invalid, that at that time the mind will be trained. Yes, mind can be engaged even when the senses are not engaged. That's why Indriyani Paranyahur, Indriyape Parammanaha. So senses, mind and intelligence and then soul. So initially the senses have to be engaged, eventually the mind has to be engaged. Later time, such that even when the senses are invalid, the mind will be trained to be engaged. So that is what Srila Prabhupada is covering here. So I'll just take 2-3 minutes just to ensure about spiritual benefits or the spiritual conditions. Materially, there is so much benefit, so much, even a discount has certain conditions to be applied. And we discussed that even the discount which is given is apparently, you know, you increase the price and then give a discount. So it's hardly any much value. But from a spiritual perspective, are there conditions applied? Yes, from like, even if you see from Krishna's perspective, when he says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. In fact, he doesn't put the star later, he put the star first. Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Abandon all varieties of religion, surrender exclusively to me. Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Then, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo. The discount which is giving a material benefit, as I said, 100 rupees worth is increased to 150 and then given a 20% discount. But here Krishna says, Sarva Papebhyo. Sarva means 100%. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo. Moksha Ishyami Masucha. So, conditions are given and then benefits are given. The benefit which is given is way beyond what we can imagine, or way beyond what we actually deserve, is what Krishna is actually offering. And even more merciful, as Srila Prabhupada would say, that a more merciful form of Krishna is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and of course also the holy name. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, when they come to give unconditional discounts. Practically unconditional discounts. Namna makari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrarpita niyamita smarane nakala. No time, place, circumstance. No time, place, circumstance. Shraddha matra loye den parama ananda. It says just on the strength of faith. Shraddha matra loye den parama ananda. The highest benedictions, the greatest happiness, the bliss, Nityananda. Actually, Nityananda only is ready to give that. So that is the benefit. In Krishnanandru's language, he would explain that you don't even have to write an exam. Right? Just come to the exam hall and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda will take care of it. That is how merciful they are. That is their unconditional discounts that they are offering. Practically we cannot imagine, and actually we do not deserve it. But they have opened up the storehouse of love of Godhead. To this, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Lochandas Thakur was a great, great devotee. Today is his disappearance day. who wrote very wonderful Vaishnava songs, and Srila Prabhupada was very fond of. At one particular time, Srila Prabhupada, one of the shortest lectures he has given, just 2 minutes, he spoke about glories of Lord Chaitanya, and eventually he broke down. He couldn't speak further. That was the effect of, like, just by seeing the people, by seeing the transformation that has happened, what Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda has have done by spreading this beautiful movement, Srila Prabhupada was very, very indebted to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So basically they have come to offer that unconditional discounts. So Prabhupada is talking about conditional, at certain conditions, favorable conditions, gross and subtle bodies act. We discussed about that. Second, we discussed about interdependency of gross and subtle bodies. And third, we discussed in which conditions does the sense objects not disturb a person. And finally, towards spirituality, unconditional. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have come to give us unconditional discounts. Let us take the maximum benefit as much as possible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your kind patience.
Hare Krishna. So we actually got to hear from His Grace Shankar Pandit Prabhu. Shankar Pandit Prabhu is from the very first IFF batches, 1996. Some of you heard from Sundarshyam Prabhu yesterday. So Shankar Pandit Prabhu and Krishna Vishwa Prabhu and many others, Grihasthas, Sundarshyam Prabhu, like they are all from Bharati Vidyapeeth and a very, very first batch of IFF. They have been counseling ever since. Very, very fiery devotees, very wonderful Vaishnavas to personally associate with. After passing out, he eventually took a training in the Brahmachari Ashram. Eventually, he was in Fidelity in Bangalore and he was training in Oracle applications. Eventually, he has come to Pune to give us association here and benefit us. He has been counseling youth in Bangalore also and here also. And I personally associated with many of them, and they've fallen in love with Prabhuji and his good wife. The way they care for them genuinely, and they personally, they know in depth the devotees, and they give very practical, very well-rounded advice to all the devotees. So their counselees are like very happy devotees in their own lifestyle, in their life. Also along with that, Prabhu also does very active member of the Congregation Service Board. So he is very active for festival management. You may have seen in the Prasadam time in Vyas Puja. So Prabhu manages that very, very powerfully with all the devotees. And along with that, he is taking care of the marriage bureau for all the Nityananda Sabha, the devotees who are aspiring to be married, for them to get a good match. So marriage bureau, he takes care. And if you hear his lectures, you will get very well-rounded, very Vaishnava culture. You can see through his actually personal talks and also his lecture. He can never speak without the culture coming in, actually. So his philosophy is always embedded in the Vaishnava culture. We are very fortunate to get to hear from him. And he spoke on a topic which is very relevant for the youth. Somehow Krishna also designed Krishna planned. So we are fortunate. Let us all thank him by loudly chanting. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!